May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 407. 407. Dear Lord, my panting soul inflame to spread abroad thy matchless fame, and with a solemn pleasure tell the grace which saves from death and hell. Here's pardon full for sin that's past. It matters not how black they're cast. And oh, my soul with wonder view, for sins to come, here's pardon too. Hymn 407.
Thank you. May we be helped to read in the Holy Word of God from the Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter, commencing to read at verse 18 and reading to the end of the chapter. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 18. And it came to pass, as he, that is Jesus, was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say, Elias. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them, and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and chief priests, and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged, if he gain the whole world, and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James, and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans, to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them, and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. May the Lord bless his words to us each, and teach us to pray. O thou exalted and eternal and ever-blessed Lord God, thou who dwellest in the heaven of heavens, thou who art the holy, holy, holy God, thou who art of purer eyes than to behold evil, thou who canst not look upon iniquity, O do condescend, we beseech thee, to come to our aid, even this night. Bow down thine ear, and hear us speedily, for thy mercy's sake. And do grant us access into the holiest of all, even by the blood of Jesus. And how we need continually to be taught concerning him. And even as we read in thy word, how he, while upon earth, asked his disciples, Whom say the people that I am? But really the great question was this, But whom say ye that I am? And how we need to be taught, even as dear Simon Peter was, when the Lord said to him, Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, how we in our turn need that heavenly teaching, the instruction of God the Father through the Holy Spirit. And what a mercy if any of us can truly say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But oh, do instruct us concerning the blessed, yea, the ever-blessed Son of God, and the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and the one through whom thy people obtain that eternal life. For we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. O bring us, we beseech thee, poor and unworthy, lifeless though we are. Bring us, though sinners, though lost and undone, bring us by this way, by the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. O bring us by that way of Calvary. Grant us to behold the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yea, slain in thine eternal purposes, slain in thy covenant goodness, that his people might live. And we would think of the Lamb slain, and we remind ourselves through thy word, that he was and is holy and harmless and undefiled, that he was without blemish and without spot. And when we see him slain, the sword of divine justice, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Do we not receive that solemn teaching concerning sin, concerning iniquity, concerning our transgressions? And oh, what a mercy, if we may say with the prophet, it is by his stripes that we are healed. But oh, grant us some knowledge of it, and oh, lead us to behold that Lamb slain, lifted up from the earth. For he said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And we desire, feeling very much our dullness of heart, yea, at times we fear our deadness, but we desire to thus be drawn by the sight of one lifted up betwixt heaven and earth. And we would think of that type in the wilderness, the brazen serpent made by Moses at thy command, and how that serpent was lifted up upon a pole, and if any man looked upon it, he lived. And we know that in that serpent they saw that lively type of them that had bitten them, and they were reminded of their guilt in their murmuring and their complaining. But O, do grant us, in looking upon Calvary, to know that our sin was borne upon that dear head, that the Lord Jesus Christ made atonement for our transgressions, that he bore our guilt, that, as the Apostle said, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Grant us to know this solemn truth. He hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And if there be any, even in this place, in this house of prayer, here tonight, so burdened, so weighed down by that load of guilt, their conscience made lively, and their longings to be cleansed, to be washed, to be rid of that load, then do bring them to this solemn place, and grant them to behold the dear Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And may he thus feelingly be found to take away their sin, their guilt, their load, to relieve them of their bondage, and to bring them into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And O, do grant us, O Lord, to know what it is to come unto thee by living faith, for we believe there is a coming. And we read in thy word that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And we know not thine eternal purposes, as to whom the Father shall draw. We know not who the elect are, but we desire the evidence of it, the being drawn of the Father, and the coming even unto a precious Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think of thy work, thy finished work of atonement, when thou wast upon earth in the days of thy flesh, our minds would go forward to thy second coming, that time, that day, that hour, when thou shalt come the second time, without sin unto salvation. And at times we confess we feel so unprepared, We feel so unfit, and we wonder if we are truly made ready. But we desire that thou wilt yet work within us, and grant us the prayer of the poet, "Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God." Do grant us to be among those who love his appearing, those who hasten unto the day of God, and of whom it is a blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. O Lord, we are found within thine earthly courts once more, and we thank thee that we are found here, for it is also surely once less. And we would treasure every occasion, we would treasure every moment found within this company and within the companies of thy people. But oh, do grant prosperity unto Zion. Alas that we seem to see so little of it. Alas, that it is a day of small things, that Zion mourneth, that she languisheth, and indeed minished and brought low. But we would not despise the day of small things, and we would bring before thee thy people here, and the dear ones gathered in this congregation. We would seek thy mercy for those things that yet lie before them, and indeed that thou wilt grant help in the coming days. We would think of those who shall minister here, if it is according to thy will, thy dear servants, and especially we think of those who are aged, those who are riper in years, and those who know the weakness increasingly of the flesh. O do uphold them, and preserve them yet unto us. And we think of thy dear servant expected on the next Lord's Day. And if it please thee, bring him among this people in peace and safety. Grant him health, grant him strength, and grant him a word to encourage and to help the people here. And do help him also among his own flock, and in all his labours there. And we think of other friends also, whom we hope to hear, and whom we hope the dear people here shall be enabled so to hear to their spiritual profit. And we need thee to grant help, both in the speaking and in the hearing of thy word. And to help the dear deacons of this court, their various responsibilities, their many burdens, and do grant them that daily strength. And we think, in thinking of one of them, of the bereaved, and how there is that continual need for thy comfort, thy solace to be granted. And we do thank thee for the memory of the just, which is blessed. But oh, do console the mourners, and do grant that upholding, a lifting up for the downcast. We think of any who may be sick, those who are afflicted in body, to help those who care for them also. And we think of any who may be absent from us, for whatever reason. We would remember those who may be listening in. O Lord, we have to confess thy goodness in these things that a few years ago were perhaps unknown or unfamiliar to us. But we trust thy hand of blessing has been known. And do be with such, perhaps listening in the home, perhaps listening in some other place. But may the words come with power and with much assurance. gods and in the Holy Ghost. We would pray, if it could please thee, for a building up of Zion, that thou wilt quicken thy dead elect, that thou wilt so work in the lives of thine own, thy sheep, that they might in time be quickened unto life. And oh, if it please thee, do bring back prodigals, prodigal sons, prodigal daughters, and do grant that solemn instruction, that teaching in the good way, the old paths, and grant such that they may savour such things and return. And we pray for a continuance, for we know that we cannot keep ourselves. If left to ourselves, we shall fall. But thou art able to uphold thy dear people. Thou art able to keep them from falling. And we pray that it might be so, that we might each be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And keep our feet walking in the gospel way. We bless thee that it is an highway. And as thou hast said in thy word, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. And how we need such a safe passage to be granted, that thou shouldest at length bring us even unto our desired haven. O grant us that which is recorded in that same psalm. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go unto a city of habitation. And do bless any who have turned in from other causes of truth. And do bless those neighbouring causes, those that have been upon our heart this day. Thy dear people especially, at Fen Stanton, in a time perhaps of perplexity, a time of concern for their dear retired pastor. And we pray that if it please thee, thou wilt look upon him and grant strengthening mercies, restoring mercies, that he might stand once more to minister before thy people. O Lord, we confess that there is much that we need to bring unto thee, many concerns regarding churches and the nation in its benighted state, and our desires as instructed by thy word, for those whom thou hast set over us, for our King, our Prime Minister, those in Parliament. And oh, do have mercy. Do grant, if it could please thee, that wisdom, that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And grant that there might yet be a turning back of the tide of wickedness, that there might yet be godly voices raised up and granted influence in our nation. And we desire that there might be a solemn humbling before thy name, contrition of heart, and that instead of those things that are at present lifted up, those things of human doing, those things of human pride, of man's invention, or that such things might be cast down, and a return to that which thou hast spoken of, thine ordinances, thy laws, those things wherewith thou dost govern this world. And do grant there might be a restraining, for we read, surely the wrath of men shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. O yet have mercy upon our benighted nation, and upon the nations of the world. O Lord, as we are found at the start of a new week, do help us daily, hourly, to commit our various causes and concerns unto thee. Help us to ever bring our burdens to the throne of grace, to the mercy seat. Help us to cast our cares upon thee, the Lord, because we read thou carest for us, but do impress it upon our hearts, and grant us daily, hourly prayer, whether in the home, whether individually, privately, or whether as found within the Church of God. But do grant us to pray, and not to faint. O forgive us and cleanse us of our many iniquities. Pardon us of our many sins, and receive us graciously, accepted in the Beloved, even for the sake of the dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 310. 310. Lord, when thy Spirit descends to show the badness of our hearts, astonished at the amazing view, the soul with horror starts. Hymn 310.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help us, we would seek to venture with the words found in the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and in verse 51. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9. And we shall read again verses 51, 52, and 53. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he, that is Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans, to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. This 51st verse. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. It will come as no surprise to us, having read much of this chapter, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the course of his earthly ministry, had it clearly in view that he should go to Jerusalem, that he should suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, that he should lay down his life, and that he should be raised again the third day. But here we have this very striking expression of how at this particular point in his ministry, the Lord Jesus, who had been with his disciples in Galilee, now steadfastly set his face to go up to Jerusalem. By way of introduction, we may consider something of how the disciples received this truth. The disciples to whom he spake these things, perhaps on many occasions, other than those that are recorded for us in the Word of God. But even as we read in verse 22 of this chapter, how the Lord Jesus told them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. And again a little later, in verse 44, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But we read, they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Remember how the Lord had spoken of these things just after that revelation of the doctrine concerning him, that passage to which we alluded in prayer, when he asked the disciples, whom say the people that I am? And I am sure you will be aware how that Matthew gives that fuller account of it in the 16th chapter of his Gospel. And Simon Peter was so blessed, was he not? Jesus saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. those words that the Lord spake to him. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But then how soon afterwards? Verse 21 of Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. And it is almost as though the disciples not only cannot receive these things, but they are so offended, and especially Peter, at the idea of their beloved Lord and Master being killed, that they seem not to hear what he says concerning his being raised again the third day. Well, I am sure you are familiar with the account. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Well, how soon this comes, after the blessed revelation that Simon Peter has been enabled to speak of. Does it not warn us to have no confidence in the flesh? And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, this doctrine, and as we have read, the disciples could not yet receive it, and it was hidden from them. But the Lord Jesus knew perfectly what was before him. And so we read, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And in connection with this, we have the teaching here also that these things were for a particular set time. It was when the time was come that he should be received up. And it was then that we read, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Because there were those periods in the Lord's life and ministry when the time had not yet come. There were those occasions when it seemed as though he might be destroyed by his adversary. Remember how there was very early on that occasion in his own city of Nazareth when he had been in the synagogue and when he had uttered those gracious words concerning the prophecy of Isaiah, and how those who had been in the synagogue, we read, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But his time was not yet come. And what do we read? But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And again, just these few occasions from time to time that we read. For instance, in John chapter 7, when it is recorded that his brethren did not believe on him, those of his own kindred. And the Lord says to them, John chapter 7 and verse 6, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. And how he says, Go ye up unto this feast, that is the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Did we not read even this morning in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John how again the Jews had sought to take the Lord? But we read in that 39th verse, he escaped out of their hand. But now the time had come. And as the Lord said elsewhere, concerning these things, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And so these things being fulfilled, the time now being at hand, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. There seems to be a very clear echo here of something else that Isaiah prophesied. And perhaps your thoughts have already turned to it. In the 50th chapter of Isaiah. Because there we have a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You might remember how it begins. Isaiah 50 and verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. These sufferings of the Lord Jesus, prophesied many years beforehand by Isaiah. But then we read this in verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. And he enlarges upon this. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. And then this in verse 9. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. But especially these words in verse 7. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. And when we consider these things, that steadfast setting of his dear face, and doing so, as he says, setting his face like a flint, it tells us something of what the Lord Jesus had in prospect. And it tells us much concerning the great love for his people, that he was so disposed to steadfastly set his face to go up to Jerusalem. We read in this verse that it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. And this being received up, well, it could speak of several things. It seems actually that it refers in the main to the act of going up to Jerusalem. You will recall how that the Jews of old considered, especially those three annual feasts, and all the males in Israel had been commanded to appear there. But they thought of that journey to Jerusalem as a going up. Hence, as we read in the Psalms, the songs of degrees, ascending toward Jerusalem. And I suppose spiritually it was an ascent, because they were coming from the utmost regions, some of them, from the utmost parts of northern Israel, up to that place where God had chosen to set his name and to reveal his glory. And that is what we get the sense of in the songs of degrees, in the Psalms. But it was always a going up to Jerusalem. And so this may well be the sense of the Lord being received up. But of course, we know there is something slightly more than this, because the expression being received up appears in other places also. For instance, we find that it can refer to the Lord's being received up into glory. We find it, do we not, right at the end of the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16 and in verse 19. Then after the Lord had spoken unto them, that is, the disciples, concerning their preaching of the gospel, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And Luke uses a similar expression in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, again concerning the instruction to the disciples, verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when again the apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy and writing unto him concerning the mystery of godliness, which he says without controversy is great, well, you know those little expressions, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Well, little expressions to speak, pithy statements of doctrine, but containing a wealth, a vast wealth of truth, not least the Lord Jesus in his ascension, received up into glory. And therefore, when we read in our text that the time was come that the Lord should be received up, well, we do think of his going up to Jerusalem. And indeed, as we read earlier, those two following verses, how the Samaritans could see it in his very visage, in his face. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. As they saw it, he had no interest in their matters, because he was set on going to Jerusalem itself. And so they, in that place, did not receive him. But we think also of those things that took place in Jerusalem. We think of him being received up in this sense as an offering and a sacrifice, that sacrifice that he made himself when he offered himself through the eternal Spirit without spot unto God. And do we not think of how upon the cross he breathed out his spirit and said, Father, into thine hand I commend my spirit. Again, quoting from the psalmist. And how he was thus, in so expiring, received up by his Father. And that sacred humanity, his body that lay those 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, must yet await the return of his spirit. But the greatest receiving up, as we have said, was that glory that was to come. And isn't it a comfort to the Lord's people that we read of these things, as we have said many centuries beforehand, written in the prophets and in the Psalms, and indeed in the law of Moses, the things concerning him? You will think, I am sure, of the end of Psalm 24, the ascension. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Well, the Lord Jesus, we read, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And in doing so, he showed that he had perfect knowledge of all of these things that were to come. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But we must speak more especially concerning those momentous things that were before the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem. And we must speak carefully, because it would be easy to trace those things that did take place as things that befell him, things that occurred through the malice of his foes, things that came about because of the baying crowd shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," and things that took place because of the weakness of Pontius Pilate and because of the insistence of the Jewish people. But we must ever remember that the Lord Jesus was sovereign in all that happened, in all that came to pass. And these things, therefore, we would rather say were before him in that way that had been ordained from before the foundation of the world. And when he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, he did so with that authority. Again, we read of it this morning in John chapter 10. He had power to lay down his life. No man taketh his life from him. But he says, I lay it down of myself. Power to lay it down, power to take it again. For this commandment, says he, have I received of my Father. But these things that were solemnly before him, and we do think, do we not, of Gethsemane, that place where we read, he sweats great drops, as it were, of blood. And we think of the words that came from his lips. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And we believe that in the garden, that place of the olive press, the Lord viewed in prospect the great mass of his people's guilt, the exceeding sinfulness of their sin. And imagine what that must have been to his holy, harmless, undefiled, spotless humanity, to his soul that had never sinned. Well, I suppose, by way of poor illustration, if we have been granted a measure of the Holy Spirit to flee from evil, then the wickedness that we see around us in the world is wickedness from which at times we shrink. But if we shrink from evil, if we cannot stand it, we have to remember that we are yet in the flesh. We are yet sinners ourselves. We yet have an old nature. And so if we withdraw from such things, and they are a distress to us, then how much more the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God? And if we shrink at times from sins, which are perhaps for a season or for a moment in others, yet what must it have been to the dear Son of God to have surveyed the whole of all his people's guilt, the immense mass of their iniquity, the blackness of it, the weight of it? Well, no wonder that we read that an angel strengthened him. Such was his distress. And need we even speak of those words that he spake in prayer to his Father? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, the cup of the wrath of God due to his people's sins. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The Lord Jesus Christ, in an agony in the garden. And it was in view, as he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And need we speak of those rulers before whom he was brought, the Lord Jesus before the high priest, the Lord before Herod, and before Pontius Pilate, and those things that were brought against him, the false witnesses. And in the midst of that, when he was in the high priest's palace, Peter denying him three times. And truly, that must have hurt his soul amidst all that was taking place. And these things that must have been such a grief to him. And yet he foresaw them, and he knew that they were to come. For did he not speak to Peter, even of that threefold denial, before it occurred? And the Lord Jesus, who was mocked and cruelly buffeted by the Roman soldiers. And we must speak also of those physical sufferings, the scourging that he received from Pilate. And oh, how grievous! And we again shrink from the thought of such a thing, and the barbarity of it, and the cruelty of it. But we begin to call to mind the prophecy of Isaiah, and to realize that such things were needful, for it was by his stripes that his people were to be healed. And the crucifixion itself. Well, there was the crown of thorns thrust upon his brow, and the nails in his hands and in his feet. These things that again he foreknew, and had they not been prophesied of old, they pierced my hands and my feet, and those things of which we have read in Psalm 50. But in Isaiah chapter 50, the Lord suffering upon the cross. And if the physical sufferings were not enough, again, time does not suffice to speak of those things that his holy soul endured. The dereliction, when there was that hiding of his Father's face, as he bore the sin of his people. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And at length, his suffering so great that they had to be shrouded by those 3 hours of darkness, that man may not at that point look upon the dear Son of God as he bore the sin of his beloved church. Well, we can only respond in the words of Isaiah, and may it be our mercy to know the reality of it in our own case. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Truly despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Well, we say all of these things were in prospect, and the Lord yet, in love, steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And it just came to us as we were thinking about these things, that if it be by his stripes that his dear people are healed, then when we consider and meditate upon the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, well, there is healing there. There is comfort. And in a strange kind of way, the words of the 43rd hymn came to mind. The dear poet there is speaking of the written word of God as being precious and a treasure. But in this sense also, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, verse 3 of hymn number 43, when my faith is faint and sickly, or when Satan wounds my mind, cordials to revive me quickly, healing medicines here I find, when my Jesus shines therein, into my mind. Indeed, a balm in Gilead, a physician there. Well then, this prospect. And I suppose we cannot fail to note, as we have already hinted, that when the Lord Jesus did set his face like a flint, and when he did set his face steadfastly to go up to Jerusalem. Yes, it was the suffering. Yes, it was the laying down of his life for the sheep. But there were those things that would come afterward. And even Isaiah, in that 53rd chapter, prophesied of them. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So there is to be a reward. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It is this Lord Jesus who humbled himself, who was found in fashion as a man, and in love, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But that passage does not end there, does it? Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, as we have already quoted, the Lord Jesus Christ did endure the cross. He did despise the shame because of the joy that was set before him, and now is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Well then, this steadfast setting of his face to go to Jerusalem. And we read of what took place on the way, or in the way. And we know from what we have considered what it was for Jesus to go up to Jerusalem. But we find it very touching that we have these accounts of what took place among his disciples. And just a little expression in verse 57. A few verses on from our text. It came to pass that as they went in the way. And then we have the account of three who came to him. The one who said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. To whom he replied, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And the one to whom the Lord said, follow me, but who desired firstly to go to bury his father. And the other who said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And how the Lord gave instruction in each case. No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And those things also that his more immediate disciples said. And it does, I think, make us sad when we read just after the Lord had been speaking about those things that were before him in Jerusalem. But then we read that there was that reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. Well, also, those things that John says, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And the Lord's reply, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And I wonder at times whether we feel something of a kinship with the disciples. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus has gone to Jerusalem. He has suffered and died. And that part of his work is complete. Atonement is made. But there was another occasion when we read of Thomas saying, let us also go and die with him, in John chapter 11. And the Lord's people do at times feel that kinship, not as we have said in this going up to Jerusalem, for that is past, but it is as though they are yet in the way with the Lord. And just like those disciples of old, those whom he met, those to whom he spake, his immediate disciples. Well, there are those things that are perhaps mistaken, things in which we need to be corrected, things in which the flesh constantly needs to be subdued. But it is his kindness, it is his condescension, it is his gracious teaching, the Lord Jesus, who does speak, as we might also have read in Isaiah 50, a word in season to him that is weary. And the Lord, who does not always chide, neither keepeth his anger forever. Well, it is a mercy if we in our turn be found walking with the Lord Jesus. And of course we mean spiritually now, as he dwells with his dear people and grants them of his Spirit. But what a favour if it could be said of us, that it came to pass as they went in the way, as we go in our pilgrimage, in our journey, but to converse and to be with Jesus. Well, we close with this, and how could we close with anything other? It is his great love, one who so set his face like a flint. And that other verse that speaks of what it was when his hour had now come. John chapter 13 and the first verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And that is the great point. He had loved them. Those 11 disciples, excepting Judas Iscariot, whom we know to have been the traitor. But oh, how he loved them, and how he loved those others of his disciples, those who ministered to him. But the word is this: he loved them unto the end. He loved them with sufficient love to go up to Jerusalem. And he shall love them with sufficient love to keep them throughout all eternity. And the Lord Jesus Christ, his great love, this love that passeth all knowledge. And so, yes, that love is known, it is manifest, the love of God shed abroad in their hearts, even by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And the child of God replies with the apostle, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May the Lord bless his own word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Austin will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Our friends at Fenstanton hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening, and the St. Ives Thanksgiving services are on Thursday. Our closing hymn is number 628. 628. My soul shall with wonder proclaim the love of my Father and God, whose promises ever remain, and each in its course is made good. Their great and exceeding great too, more precious than rubies by far. Like streams from the fountain they flow, and Zion preserved from despair. Hymn 628.
Gracious Lord, to grant us that mercy to wait, and to hope upon thy word, and to know concerning thy promise, though it tarry, wait for it. Now do be with us, those who shall remain and gather around the ordinance table, those who shall observe, and those who shall depart. Do be with them, and grant thy blessing upon each. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.